much and get excited about the kind of neat things that we'll hear about the young perspective. It's always exciting. So, as you know, we've been going through the book of James, and today is our last week. We're going to end up, wrap up James this week, and next week, I'm not sure what we'll start with, but this is a good time to finish up the book of James. We're doing Youth Sunday, we're having our annual meeting, and we've got a perfect time to wind up, especially what James is talking about. He's wrapping it up. And so let's pray real quick. Father God, I ask that you would guide us as we research your word, as we learn about what you have to say to us, God, and I ask that you would help us to apply it to our lives. Lord, let your Holy Spirit act among us so that we could be on fire for what you have to say, that we would be doers of the word, and that we would act on the thoughts that you put in our minds. Lord, we entrust that with you. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. So if we were going to review the book of James for a test like we do in our Wednesday youth groups, we could make a summary outline, and it would look something like this. It would say chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. And in chapter 1, verses 19 through 27, the summary would be the youth part. Okay, I'll fill in there. It says, don't just talk, do it. And chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. And chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. And chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. And chapter 3, 13 through 18. Chapter 4, 1 through 12. Chapter 4, 13. Chapter 5, verses 7 through 12. Wait with hope. So we have learned wisdom enable us. We've learned to do, not just to talk, to not play favorites. We've learned to walk by faith, not by sight. We've learned to watch our mouths from James, because it tells what our heart is actually feeling. We've learned to be peacemakers, to make our choice either God's way or the world's way, to not let earthly riches spoil us, and to wait with hope. And today, what could be left to say? I mean, James has pretty much covered most of it there. I can't think of anything to add to that except for one thing, and James hits it on the head right here at the end. Of course, that is pray. So today, James tells us about praying. Pray about everything, from hardship to happiness and sickness in body and salvation of souls. James chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Elijah was a human, as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then, when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. My dear brothers and sisters, If someone among you wanders away from the truth and is brought back, you can be sure that whoever brings the sinner back from wandering will save that person from death and bring about the forgiveness of many sins. This passage here, some of these passages are a little bit difficult to understand and to get. Sure, suffering hardship. The first verse, are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Suffering hardships is easy enough to pray about, right? Paul basically says the same thing in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, when he says, don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. And he wrote that while he was in prison. He keeps saying, rejoice. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 4, says, don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. While you're in prison, you are experiencing joy and joy again. You know, we hear this when Paul tells us from prison, he says, rejoice. So you're experiencing joy and, you know, rejoice, like you had joy once, and so you re-experience that again, rejoice. In prison? And so Paul explains it to us a little bit more in Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. He says, I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing with everything. Or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Paul understands that man does not live by bread alone, but by the word of God. Our true home is not here on this earth, but with Jesus in the place that he is preparing for us. Paul also understands that when he himself is weak, then he is strong. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll look at this a little bit later, three different times the scripture says, and this is Paul, I begged the Lord to take it away. He's talking about his affliction. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. This is why I take pleasure in my weakness and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So Paul agrees with James. Consider your troubles, your trials, your difficulties, an opportunity for great joy. And then James goes on to say, if you're happy, sing praises. And that's much easier to do than to rejoice in your troubles. Well, except when things are going good and we are happy, and that actually tends to be the time when we neglect God the most and take him for granted. But we are reminded by Paul and James to give thanks in all circumstances, through everything, in the good and the bad. Verse 14, when you are sick, pray, James says. When you are sick, pray. Call the elders of the church and have them pray. The earnest prayer of a righteous man, righteous person, has great power and produces wonderful results. And then he points out Elijah. Knowing that we are tempted to hold Elijah up on a pedestal as someone more important or better than ourselves, James reminds us that Elijah was just a human like we are. But oh, when he prayed, a miracle happened. I think that intimidates most of us. We know that God has power, but do we have enough faith? If we pray for healing and it doesn't happen, does that mean we aren't righteous enough? Elijah prayed for rain, prayed for fire, and God granted him that. We think he's just a prophet, so he has some special link to God. But are we able to pray for a miracle, and will God make it happen for us? I'm sure Jesus' disciples were asking themselves this same thing at times. Mark chapter 9, verses 14 through 29. This is a story that's a little bit, okay, it's a lot difficult for me to read. It's a tough one, but it ends powerful. There was a large crowd, and there were some teachers of the law there, and the disciples were there, and there was some arguing going on. And when the crowd seen Jesus, they were overwhelmed with awe, and they ran to greet him. "What is all this arguing about?" Jesus asked. One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, "Teacher, I brought my son so that you could heal him. He is possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk. And whenever the spirit seizes him, it throws him to the ground and he has seizures and a bunch of other horrible things happens to this poor boy." And Jesus said to them, this is after they said, "Hey, we asked your disciples to cast this demon out, but they couldn't do it." And Jesus said to them, "You faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." And so they brought the boy to Jesus, and when the evil spirit saw Jesus, he threw the child into another one of the fits, the convulsions, seizures, happened all over again. And then Jesus asked the Father, "How long has this been happening?" He replied, "Since he was a little boy, the spirit often throws him into the fire or into water, trying to kill him." And then the Father says to Jesus, "Have mercy on us and help us if you can." Jesus responds, "What do you mean, if I can? Anything is possible if a person believes." And the Father instantly cried out, "I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the crowd of onlookers was growing, he rebuked the evil spirit. "Listen, you evil spirit that makes this boy unable to hear and speak," he said. "I command you to come out of this child and never enter him again." Then the spirit screamed and threw the boy into another fit of convulsions and left him. The spirit left him. The boy appeared to be dead. A murmur ran through the crowd as people said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and helped him to his feet, and he stood up. Afterward, when Jesus was alone in the house with his disciples, they asked him, "Why couldn't we cast out the evil spirit?" Now, a few things I want to point out to you about this story. Number one, Jesus came and he cast the demon out and healed the boy. Number two, the disciples wondered why they were unable to do it. And the Father, something that the Father said, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. Now, how are we to understand that? And I think that is, that verse right there shows that this Father had some serious courage. Any one of us as parents would do anything to help our children get well, to be healed. We would go to any length. And this Father, he brings his child to Jesus. And Jesus tells him, what do you mean if I can? Anything is possible if a person believes. And then the Father admits, I believe, but maybe I'm, but help me believe completely and totally. He admits to Jesus right then and there, I'm not perfect and I may not be believing. I may not be putting all the faith I can in it, but I want to. Trevor talked about courage. And that kind of courage that we aren't just born with, the kind of courage that we have to step into and to have because of what Jesus can do for us in our lives, for what Jesus can do for our children in this man's case. And he admitted, help me with my unbelief. The Father wanted healing for his son desperately. The son's true sickness was spiritual, and the disciples were unable to cast out the demon. The demon was causing the child to be sick. The Father begged Jesus for help, adding, if you can. When praying for the sick, I think we need to note that there are three things to remember. Number one, our spiritual health is more important than our physical health. Matthew chapter 16, verse 26 says, and what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? Number two, only Jesus can heal our spiritual sickness. In Acts chapter 3, we read about Peter, when he's healing a crippled person, a beggar, and comes up to Peter, and Peter says, look, I don't have any silver or gold for you, because the person is begging too, wants some money. He says, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus the Nazarene, get up and walk. I want you to take note how Peter said that. In the name of Jesus the Nazarene, get up and walk. And then he took him by his hand and he stood up and he was able to walk. And then later on in the chapter 3 of Acts, Peter is talking about faith. He says, through the faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed. Through faith in the name of Jesus. And this is the key to healing, that it be done through Jesus, because Jesus is the one that has the power for healing, not us. We're not able to do that without Jesus. So number three, I think we need to remember that sometimes God says no to healing, such as he did with Paul in 2 Corinthians. We talked about his affliction, and he prayed to God to take it away, and God didn't. But it can be terrifying to go out on a limb and ask for miracles, for healing, when we know that God may say no. But it's much more terrifying to allow the power of God to go untapped, and for miracles to remain unseen. We need to cry out to Jesus, I believe, help me with my unbelief. If there is potential for us to pray in Jesus' name, and for someone to gain healing because of that, then we had better take that chance. And if God says no, okay. We need to do our part and pray. This section of James about praying, and specifically about healing and the effects of the prayers of the righteous man, have several cross-references. First is John chapter 14, verses 13 through 14. It says, "You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it," Jesus says. And John chapter 15, verses 7 says, "But if you remain in me and my words in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and to produce lasting fruit, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name." And John chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. "And we are confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. And since we know he hears us when we make our request, we also know that he will give us what we ask for. If you see a fellow believer sinning in a way that does not lead to death, you should pray, and God will give that person life." Jesus assures us that we can ask the Father anything in Jesus' name, and that we will receive it. To ask in his name is to ask according to his character, his purpose, his will. It means asking according to his word. When we pray in Jesus' name, let me say this again, it is to ask according to his character, his purpose, his will, and according to his word. And I think this is why James points out to Elijah, or points out to us, that Elijah and the rain, you know, the whole situation about the rain. Elijah earnestly prayed according to God's word. Elijah was righteous, and because of his faith in God to perform his word, he prayed and received results. When the Israelites received the Ten Commandments and God's covenant at Mount Sinai, God spelled out both blessings and curses. Blessings for obedience and curses for disobedience. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 1, reveals to us the command. It says, "Do not make idols or set up carved images or sacred pillars or sculptures or stones in your land so that you may worship them. I, the Lord, am God." And Leviticus chapter 26, 3 reveals to us the blessing that Elijah knew about. "If you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, I will send you the seasonal rains. The land will then yield its crops, and the trees of the field will produce their fruit." And then Leviticus chapter 26, verse 14, tells us about the curse. "However, if you do not listen to me or obey these commands, I will break your proud spirit by making the skies unyielding as an iron and the earth as hard as bronze." The Israelites heard this from Moses after they escaped Egypt. Moses repeated it again 40 years later when they were going into the promised land. When Solomon finishes building the temple during his dedication prayer, he acknowledges that there will be consequences for the sin of disobedience, including drought. Can you guess what was going on in the land with God's chosen people when Elijah prayed there would be no more rain? King Ahab and his wife Jezebel, they were doing evil in the Lord's eyes. They had instituted idols. The people were not obeying God's commandments. Elijah thought that he was the only prophet of God left in the whole land. He boldly prayed, though, according to God's word, And God answered Elijah's prayer. The purpose? To turn the people's hearts back to God. You can read about this showdown between Elijah and the prophets of Baal in 1 Kings chapter 18. The result? 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 39. All the people cried out, "The Lord, He is God." When we pray, folks, the outcome we must seek more than the healing. It is the confession, "The Lord, He is God," that we should pray for. We pray in faith, and the healing is up to God. We do our part. We walk in obedience, and God is faithful to uphold His promises to bless those who obey. When we talked about this passage of James with our youth group last week, I was surprised at some of the answers that the kids gave regarding their hardships. They didn't talk about being bullied or how COVID has ruined their social life. They didn't mention the lacking of basic necessities or fighting with their siblings or friends. They said what they struggled with is self-hatred, not wanting to show anyone their flaws or weaknesses. They said they need guidance, and they struggle with how to step up to be leaders. These kids are living in some tough times, would you agree? People are divided over positions on everything. Politics, police, COVID, education, truth. They have access to more information at a speed unimaginable 20 years ago. But that information, including history, is being erased and replaced or updated at the same speed. There are kids graduating from college who were not born when 9/11 happened. What does "never forget" mean to them? If the unity and patriotism of a country can be lost in less than 20 years, how relevant do we truly believe the Ten Commandments are? We can see results in our culture of losing sight of God's commands. And we can admit that some of our suffering is a result of the curses God said we would experience if we turned away from Him and walked in disobedience to God's word. We have kids out there who want guidance. They want to step up and to lead their peers to something better. Deuteronomy chapter 11 tells us if we want to help our youth, we have to obey God. He wants to give us the strength to occupy enemy territory. But we must be willing to do what His word says. Deuteronomy chapters 16 and 17 outline the idea that we must be careful to not be deceived, to not turn away from God. And chapters 18 and 19 tell us to commit ourselves wholeheartedly to teach your children. Now is the time to pray and to confess our sins so that there may be healing. Physical healing for those who are sick, but more importantly, spiritual healing for those who have wandered away from the truth. Leviticus chapter 26 tells us that when the people humble themselves and confess, God remembers His covenant. He does not utterly reject them or cancel their covenant, even though we experience the consequences of our disobedience. If we have confessed Christ as our Lord and Savior, He offers us a better covenant, to bring us to a place where there is no more sickness or disease, no more tears or suffering. Let our earnest prayer parallel Elijah's for God to send the rain that there may be an abundant harvest. Jesus tells us to pray for the workers of the harvest. Our youth needs a little bit of our guidance for them to be ready to step up and lead a revival that will yield a harvest of souls beyond our expectations. Let's be an example to our youth in putting God's word into practice. If you are suffering, let them see you praying about it. Are you happy? Make sure you whoop and holler and clap and dance as enthusiastically for the Lord as you do when your favorite team scores the final winning point. Are you sick? Call the elders and have them pray over you. And don't be afraid to pray for others who are sick. And by the way, you have clipboards on your row with a paper there. Write your prayers down there so that the elders and I can pray for you. And don't be afraid to confess when you have sinned. When you model humility by confessing the ability to let go of shame and guilt because of God's forgiveness, you illuminate the way for a wanderer to find the path back to God. And we all want to find our way to the place where we get to be with God in person for life everlasting. So for heaven's sake, pray. Father God, I thank you for this time that we could dig into your word. Lord, I ask that you would help us to overcome our unbelief. Lord, I pray that you would help us to have courage to know, Lord, to come to you every time, Lord, good or bad. Lord, that we may pray for healing, knowing that maybe it's not your wish, God, but if it is, God, we are wanting that to be done. Lord, we leave it up to you. And Lord, to pray and sing praises when we are happy, God. Help us to overcome.